Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Edition. We are a Packers-centric show, and we are going to deviate from that briefly to discuss your Milwaukee Bucks, which had an interesting day yesterday, to be sure.
Big win.
I watched
Big
the game.
Win.
Saw our friend David Gruber courtside. I was in my living room,
stay
of course,
for the whole game, or
because I'm more comfortable sitting in my living room than courtside. Edition. He appeared too. Yes, I believe so. He texted me on his way home.
Oh, he left early.
No, he stay for the entire game? Yes, I believe so.
Oh, don't scold me. I'm not in the mood to be scolded today. Some days are scolding.
Wait,
today
wait
not
till 11:15. Edition. Wait till 9:30. 9:30, that's when Tom Waddle of ESPN 1000, ESPN Chicago, he was looking pretty good for a while there. Until that tie, which they should have won, and then they lost in Cleveland, or maybe it was vice versa. But they could have been 8-0. He might have been right, but he wasn't. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 14:30 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios.
Jell. Volleyball shirt today. That a babe.
Yeah, NCAA tournament starts tonight. Yeah.
Taking on the Fighting Leathernecks of Eastern Illinois. No, that's Western
that'll
Illinois.
That'll be Western Illinois. Eastern Illinois. The Fighting Tony Romos tonight coming to Madison.
Sean Payton went there too. Even though he's not as good of a coach as Mike McCarthy, he gets more credit.
Jimmy G.
And from his undisclosed location, he's the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tosh, good morning. I'm not scolding you. I'm just asking you how you are.
I'm doing great, Jason. Yeah, for volleyball, it's weird, right? I guess I'm always curious. You want to draw. The field house will be sold out tonight, like
indeed.
Almost every volleyball game.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Wisconsin play first?
Well, no, because the first
match.
You
want everybody to stay.
The first match is at 4:30. And yeah, so
now we don't even know when Wisconsin's actually going to tip.
That is correct.
It could be 6:30. It could be 8 o'clock. Could be a five set tilt. Why would we not acquiesce to our fans and say, "Yeah, we're going to start at 6. We'll play." And then, who's playing next? North Carolina
and
UTEP, Bermuda, or
Texas
who?
El Paso,
Bermuda.
I'm sorry. We acquiesce to our fans. Like, I think we play first, and then if everybody wants to empty out, that's fine.
So here's the. The weird thing this year, because last year this was the same scenario, and the first match went five sets, so everybody got there for a 7 o'clock start, and we didn't actually start until like 7:40, because the first match was Tennessee and Georgia Tech, and it was a great match, went five.
Welcome to tournament play, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now they're saying no matter what, they're going to start 30 minutes after the first match. So last year,
standard practice.
Wisconsin fans could end up missing some Wisconsin volleyball if they decide to get there at 7. This UTEP match could be a Sweep City USA. It could be starting at 6. You're missing an hour
of
the game.
Correct. Basically, this match could start anywhere from 6:30 to 7:45, which means
I don't want my playoff volleyball to be a cable install meeting. Well, you know what? We might be there from 12 to 5. No. We earn the right to play at home. I want to have a concrete time I'm playing, and UTEP in North Carolina should be the cable company visit of this. I'm sorry. Shouldn't happen.
But they want to have as many fans as possible in there, and if you started at
4:30,
people have
jobs. I don't care about North Carolina and UTEP. I'm worried about us. No. About us.
Just get there a little early. Get yourself a pretzel and a beverage and sit back.
A Slurpee in one hand and a pretzel in the other.
Enjoy some Tar Heels and Miners, a little, little pregame.
You may start at noon. You might start at 8. Just get there by 11:30 and spend 9 hours just in case. Yeah, that's what we want. Let's make our fans have to be the cable company's disposal. That's what we want to do. Come on, Jesse.
I feel for the fans. I feel worst for me.
You don't feel for them. You're saying just get there and get a pretzel and sit in the. By the way, it's negative 80 out today. So yeah, let's stand outside and wait. Come on.
No one has to wait outside the field house. You go in. You're buying a ticket that gets you into both matches.
I don't think you understand how that works. People get ready and they tailgate and they do. Now we're forcing us to sit there and wait for Johnny the Cable Guy to maybe let us in at 7:30 or he might go at 10.
They tailgate in line waiting for the field house to open. The field house will already be open because they're playing the first match.
Indeed.
So
well
you can go
put.
In and
don't
you can,
scold him.
You can
don't
inside
be scolding him.
He's making me do it. I'm nervous, and I feel worse for me as the pregame host of the Wisconsin Badgers Volleyball Radio Network.
Why?
Because we're going on at 6 o'clock tonight, and I might have a 20-minute pregame show. I might have an hour and 40-minute pregame show. I don't know how long I need to be on the air, so I'm preparing as if
you know what you always
I get
want
to
do,
soliloquy
Jesse.
For an hour, and I might get 20 minutes.
When you get home field and have a regular season worthy of that, and you do all that, you know what I want to do? I want a twist in the wind. That's what I want to do. Like, come on, dude. Like, you know I'm right on this, but whatever.
No, I you're right a lot. You're right far more often than you're wrong. Mm-hmm. But, like, you've been to NCAA tournament games. Some of the greatest memories you have as a fan are that Final Four run the Badgers had.
And like, guess what?
It's standard operating procedure for the second game to be 30 minutes after the completion of the first.
Yeah, I'm not arguing
Jason, it would be
that isn't a Final Four.
To have the home team play the early game. You want people to be there, and you want to give them an excuse. There is no excuse here. If you are a Badgers volleyball fan, and I, having gotten to a game finally in the Kelly Sheffield era, I saw the passion. There is no way any of these dyed-in-the-wool, love-their-volleyball team fans are not going to get there early enough with the doors opening for a 4:30 first serve in the opponent. And they're going to scout who they're going to play next. They will not have any troubles waiting for their Badgers, whether they tip at 7 or 7:40. I don't, like, why on earth? So you can have the second game be played in front of an empty arena? Because most people will say, well, I came to see the Badgers. I don't really care about the second game. There's no way
Listen, you're right. Hey, boys, you're right on that aspect. I don't care about UTEP and I earned the right to have home court.
You have home
we earned
court.
It.
You don't have
so
home
now,
tip time.
I am not going to inconvenience our fans when we have home court. Jason, you're so, you know what? I'm not going to say anything else. You guys are right. Let's move it along.
15.
I'm going to say something that would be so rude. I'm not doing it. Move it along. I'm moving
you.
It along.
If I double dog.
No, you don't dare me.
I have something.
Hey, Finch, your tongue will be stuck to the flagpole, and I'm going to be out there dumping hot water with a fire hose if I do it. So don't double dog dare me, Finch.
It's a Christmas story.
Let's flick. I triple dog dare you, Scott Farkas. It's, let's go.
No, I'm not doing it.
Why
Scott.
Don't they just
not
say
gonna do it.
The Badger
it's
game?
Not 11:30. It's not 11:30 yet.
Why don't they just say the Badger game starts at 7 o'clock, and if the other one ends early, it won't right. start early? Why don't we just
you guys
wait
don't
until
get
7?
It? And it's not that. Here's the deal. It's not that big a deal. I just think when you have your fans and you can cater to your fans, you should. You guys don't seem to care about our fans. You seem to care more about UTEP in North Carolina, and that's fine. You guys, that is cute. I want our fans to be taken care of wholly and say, this is what's happening, this is what we're doing, and this is when you come to watch the game. Now, yes, you're right, Jason. There's going to be plenty of volleyball fans who say, oh, I want to watch who will play on Saturday or Friday. It's Friday, I guess. Yeah, totally agree. Don't argue with you on that. You can do it the other way, too. And if you really want to stay and watch, you'll stay and watch. I want the casual Badger fan to be taken care of tonight. That's what I want, because we earned it. But I'm sure, Jason, if you were a tournament organizer and Sydney was playing basketball, I'm sure you would say, well, we'll take the early game, and then we'll also take the back-end game, because I want to make sure the kids coming from Peshtigo are taken really good care of. And our fans, even though we have to then wait around all day, I'm all right with that, because I want to make sure Peshtigo is taken care of. I'm certain, as an organizer, that's what you would do, because that is exactly the scenario we're in tonight. Period, Finn.
Is
thank
it
you for
possible?
My time.
Thank you for my time. Thank you for your service. Is it possible that you have been scarred by the occasionally inconvenienced hockey tournament where you are torn on between whether to cheer for
I am
Max
not,
or get the hell
is
out
not
of Dodge.
Baseball
hold up.
Baseball
this is not about me, guys. This is not about me. It's
I didn't
not.
Say it's about
stop,
you.
Jesse, it's not.
I'm asking if it's influenced your view on this subject.
You got tickets tonight?
Here's what it's about. I think that we have not the fact that we could make it super easy for our fans, and we haven't, I think
is
a misstep.
It's not we. Kelly Sheffield isn't in charge of the scheduling. Your favorite organization, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, schedules the games. Yeah. They decide who gets home court. They decide who tips off when. And they would be completely
I'm sorry.
Clueless
I'm advocating.
To not put the
I'm
home
sorry.
Teams last.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm advocating for our fans that
you
we
should
get
be
our
sorry.
Fans taken care of. And, no, I'm not. I'm not sorry at all.
You just said you're
not
sorry.
Not even a little bit. It's fake. It was a fake sorry.
Oh, fake sorry.
Got me.
You
many,
guys, yep.
It, how many first?
You guys make sure North Carolina and UTEP are taken great care of. Anyways, let's just get this done. Let's sweep city this and get down to Austin, Texas. That's what I'm looking for in the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Boom, let's go.
So, Jesse, is this a is it
and I'm
a,
sure Texas will make sure that they play 8 hours after the first game. Well, sure.
8 hours.
We'll have the first game in Austin in the Sweet 16 if we're fortunate enough to get there. Yeah.
Now, we'll have to go to Fort Worth because Austin cares. Yeah. Austin will say, you guys go to Fort Worth and play because we want to make it tough on you so that it's a home field advantage for us. Yeah. Yeah.
I will spend my valuable commercial time researching whether all 16 first-round sites have the home team playing last, or if it's just Wisconsin, because we're inconveniencing the casual fan.
And the pregame host.
Yes, indeed. You know what's really inconvenient? Having leaky, creaky, squeaky windows. And you can fix that, just like Tausch is going to fix the start time of tonight's Badgers volleyball game. He and Gina Della fix all your problems.
Well, I'll tell you this. What I know I would love for us to take care of our fans, and I know maybe the NCAA doesn't allow that, but I know Gina will take care of you as a customer of Pella Windows and Doors. It's hard sometimes to find a good bargain during the shopping season. Pella wants to make everyone's holiday brighter and clearer through beautiful new windows. Pay 0% interest for up to 24 months at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Plus, Pella's elves, they install year-round, and they can finish installation in as little as a day. Hurry up. The deal ends December 31st, so schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions do apply. See showroom for details.
So, as occasionally happens on the program, our game plan slightly adjusted based on
you guys are dying on a hill, but I have a hard time understanding why the hell you want to die on that.
We fully understand that you don't understand. We're totally with you there.
I'm just saying, don't start it before 7. Like, I'm okay being this. Like,
Cable guy. Yeah, anytime between 12 and 8, that's when we'll be there. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for letting that happen.
Says the guy who also continues to advocate for a return
cable
to cable
guy.
Who wants to go back to cable? Because now we see all these streaming services trying to bundle, which we had already. It was called cable.
I have been dead set on the cable. Yeah, for sure.
Tune in tonight on the Wisconsin Badgers Volleyball Radio Network. We'll first serve sometime between 6 and 8 for Wisconsin and Eastern Illinois.
We'll maybe do that. I don't know. We'll see. Whenever. We don't know.
All right, we're gonna traverse the another controversial conversation, much like the start time of the Badgers' first round NCAA tournament game. We will handle another controversial subject, Giannis's future in Milwaukee, and then we'll talk to our guy Tom Waddle, who will get us off and running discussing the Packers-Bears rivalry. That's all coming up on Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Since we're airing grievances, Jesse, you have an entire library of royalty-free music. Why do you keep playing the same ones?
I think they all just kind of sound the same. This is Free Music 5.
Do we have Free Christmas Music 3?
I'll see if we can dig up some holiday
I know you're
tunes.
Very busy preparing for your potentially 20-minute or hour and 40-minute pregame show.
It is tough, man. Yeah.
Is it not? Is it though?
It's what everybody wants.
Except for Tausch. So speaking of what everybody wants, I think maybe it's not universal, but I feel like everybody in the state would like Giannis Antetokounmpo to continue to be a member of the Milwaukee Bucks.
I don't know.
And yesterday was quite the ride, and it ended in victory. And it ended in injury. Jesse, you have put together a timeline of yesterday's events. And I know you're probably trying to multitask and get ready for your pregame show of an undetermined length. But would you be kind enough to take us through the timeline of what all transpired yesterday?
I will certainly do so.
Thank you for your service.
I was trying to get it ready on the video stream, and it turns out that's not going to go so good because there's too much.
There's like 12 bullet points.
So, hey, Jesse, I'm going to give you a beat so you can get that all dialed up because I want to be a good teammate to you. Okay. And I want to give you that cable guy treatment where you might be able to put it on at 9:08 or all the way
right
up till 12.
We got to get to Waddle.
We're good.
He just said he wasn't ready.
And now I am.
All right, Jesse, put it up. Put it up.
No, I'm not going to. I said
suspense.
I'm not going to put it up, but I do have some special music
ready
for me.
Oh, you're not
going to
put it up.
Yeah.
So I have a question for both of you. And because Jason just said something declarative, which I like, because he usually doesn't do that. right now as we sit here, can this Milwaukee Bucks team win a championship?
No.
Giannis healthy, no Achilles, no calf. Can this Bucks team win a championship as currently constituted?
No.
Can we come close? Can we win a playoff series?
Yes.
Jesse?
Yeah, we can win a playoff series. East is down.
And I would say maybe is being more realistic, but I'll give you guys that. So the question I have for everybody, and I was talking to a couple folks at the Badger game last night that know their Milwaukee Bucks, not quite like I do, but they know their Milwaukee Bucks. You could have Giannis for the next 2 years, no championship, one playoff series win at the best in the next 2 years, because after 2 years, he's gone. He's going to leave, right? He can opt out. He's got 2 years this year and one more year, and then after that, it's Katie bar the door. Or you trade him to the Atlanta Hawks. You get Trae Young back from a salary standpoint, even though we don't really want him. You got it from you just do. And then you could end up getting New Orleans' first-round pick, our first-round pick back, and we stink this year, and we'll really stink if Giannis leaves, and another first-round pick. Which one are you picking as a Bucks fan? Are you taking the Hawks haul or Giannis for two more years? Which one are you going with?
Are you telling me that he is 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt leaving after 2 years? You know this.
Yes.
You are certain of this.
Yes.
It's not possible that the Miles Turner pairing and the emergence of Ryan Rollins, they win a series this year, they win two series next year, and they're in the Eastern Conference. Would that be the semis or the final? Eastern Conference
semis.
Finals. And Eastern everything's Conference trending final, yeah. in the right direction sure. that he wouldn't consider coming back. You're saying that that is not one of my options?
It's not give, on the table.
To have hope that after 2 years he will stay. I can't hope
in one hand, you know what, in the other hand.
And trade him.
Jason, this is the scenario I just laid out. You can have other scenarios. Yeah, there's other variables you can put in. But you could say you have Giannis for the next 4 years, but you ain't going to win nunca.
Well, my question is, how many times in NBA history, and again, I am not a ball knower to your degree, and my NBA knowledge is rooted in my 1980s childhood with Marcus Johnson and Sidney Moncrief and then Terry Cummings and Paul Pressey and Paul Mokeski and Jack Sikma and that crowd. And then my mid to late 90s/early 2000s time where I covered the team in the Ray Allen Big Dog era. So I don't know my NBA as well as, say, you do. But how many times has a team moved on from a transformative player who won a championship at that location and then returned to greatness through a rebuild? Like, my point is that this all, if we're being honest, Giannis.
Nice.
This all went to crap because the big, bold stroke of getting Damian Lillard failed spectacularly.
It did. But it was
right. You win a title. You win a title. Yeah. You have a big three. You decide, and understandably so. I'm not criticizing it. I personally remain a Drew Holiday guy. But you chose to
win with Drew Holiday the next year, either. By the way,
I understand. Also, with their best player injured in that series, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
They fired the coach. They hired another coach. They fired him. They hired another coach. They traded Drew Holiday. They moved on from cash money. They have done a lot of things since winning the title, and things have only gotten worse. But they can get even more worser if you move on from your franchise player. And I just my fear, like, what are the chances that you're going to get all your picks right, and you're going to get like Ryan Rollins, watching the game last night with David Gruber courtside and me in my living room while I was writing. Those are the kinds of guys you need to turn out to be way better than what their pedigree is. Because there's as many NBA first round picks that fail as there are that succeed. Right? Fair or not?
Sure, sure.
I just, I would fear a return to the Bucks irrelevant, not the deer, no. Good one. I would fear a return to irrelevancy.
Jason, one word answer here. Outside of the Giannis trade rumors, are the Bucks irrelevant right now?
No, not to to us, for sure. Right? That's not our bread and butter. I don't know how fervent the Bucks fan base is compared to the Packers
NBA
fan base.
Wise, I'm talking about NBA-wise. If you're not talking about Giannis wanting to be traded, because
right.
we're
are,
not very
are the,
good right
are
now.
Are the
are
Indiana
we irrelevant
Pacers irrelevant
in the national landscape outside of Giannis?
Are the Indiana
traded?
Pacers irrelevant?
Yes, right now they are. Yeah.
Are the Boston Celtics irrelevant?
Not really.
Are you sure? Without Tatum?
Positive,
how good are they? Where are they in the playoff picture right now, ball knower?
Tatum back? I don't know.
My point is that I just believe that the Dame Lillard catastrophe because of injury both years, right? I just think they're in a really difficult spot, and the idea that and I'm not saying I'm disappointed in Giannis. It's his life. He gets to play it however he wants to. But things are tough. I get it.
I'm going to say this. I will never be disappointed in Giannis. If Giannis is with these trade requests, and by the way, it's not, this isn't hearsay. When he mentions his agent talking, and I know Doc said what he said, if Giannis wants to be traded, and this is what it is, we need to get the Hall of Halls, but I am not going to remotely be mad and or cussing out Giannis at all. And that doesn't happen
what if,
often.
What if they trade him and they don't get the Hall of Halls? What if he exercises a level of power to make them trade him to where he wants to go?
No, I ain't trading him.
And
no,
they,
he's getting the
right.
Hall of Halls.
So then, like, as lovable as he is, there is the possibility of the worm turning, right? So I don't know if you could say that you're not going to be mad at him under any circumstances. If you have
I'm
to give
gonna.
Him away because he's.
You ain't giving him away. You control that. We don't give him away. Like, that's crazy talk.
I don't know. Things can get acrimonious. All right. Well, that covered everything on Jesse's timeline. That worked out
so
great.
So you're saying no, don't trade him to the Hawks. You're saying ride it out, let it go. Jesse, are you in agreement with Jason, or are you on the other side?
Giannis gives you the best chance to win. The Eastern Conference is down. Give me Giannis. Ride it to the very end.
And then if he pops an Achilles, you're screwed on screw.
Then that, okay. Yep, golden age comes to an end that way. It's got to end somehow.
Boys, we haven't been in the golden age for 3 years. Like, let's stop kidding ourselves. The
all
year
right,
after the championship,
all right,
there ain't
right,
been a
enough.
Golden age since
all right,
then. Okay? Let's stop
enough.
With the golden so, age. Golden so, age left with Dame got here and he got hurt. That was the end of the golden age. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you ended it. You
I wanted
it.
Him here. We
fault.
Needed him. We had a hot potato. You guys remember? Do you remember hot potato heat game?
You got,
where we didn't
you
have
got,
anybody I want to touch the ball
Justin
at the end of the
Garcia
game.
You got Justin Garcia getting you your watch and your Dame bobblehead. You were Mr.
Yes.
Dame.
You make
ruined
big
the
swings.
Golden
you strike
age.
Out sometimes, Howard Johnson.
Hot potato heat
Rob
game
Deer.
Is a great line.
You take big swings, you strike
Howard
out.
Johnson.
It happens. Yeah,
was Howard Johnson
for the Mets.
That big of a strikeout guy?
He was a big
Rob
slugger.
Deer,
was
Rob
a big
Deer was
slugger.
Way better than dropping a Hojo. All right?
Well.
All right, here's what we're going to
okay.
do.
Russell Brannon.
But let's stop with the golden age. If this is the golden age of Bucks basketball right now, I'm sorry. That's depressing. It is.
Okay.
Golden age was when we won a championship, Jesse. Not now.
The Jurassic Age was more than
2023.
Year.
Hey, 2017 to 2023 is probably 2018 to 2023, golden age. This has been a, I don't know what, it's not been brutal, but it has not been golden.
it's
you guys throw that
Tausch
term golden
age.
Around way too often. I'm going to tell you that right now.
We're keeping our guest golden. Waiting now.
It's rivalry week. The Packers are taking on the Bears. We're going to shift gears. Our Bucks buddy, Justin Garcia, I have before me his schedule for the day because he's got other jobs, you know. He's a busy guy.
Yeah, he's a worker.
He's available to join us later in the program so we can debate the Golden Age and how Mark Tauscher single-handedly brought down the Golden Age by his demand for
Damian
Lillard.
If Justin Garcia says this year is part of the Golden Age of basketball,
oh my God, man.
Justin and I are going to have issues.
I wonder if he has any tips for planning a 20-minute to 140-minute pregame show.
That is one of his areas of expertise. I don't know, do they do that in the NBA Cup where the next game is 30 minutes after the end of the previous one?
Yeah, they told you to wait. Well, I'll tell you what, if it's at Fiserv Forum,
the Bucks are playing first.
You can have a 3-hour wait, and you're going to be more than content. I can tell you that.
Associated Bank is the best in the business when it comes to customer service. They've got the awards to prove it. I have experienced it for nearly a decade. They're the absolute best, whether it's early pay, whether it's credit monitoring, whether it's fraud protection, whether it's Packers, Brewers, or Badgers checking. They've got everything you want, everything you need, with the best people in the business to take great care of you, just like they take great care of Paula and Maddie and Sid and I. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. We're going to have to apologize to Tom Waddle the moment he comes on our program. He is scheduled to appear next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Joining us now to discuss the Badger volleyball tip-off time and whether this is still the golden age of Milwaukee Bucks basketball.
I think Tommy thinks that the Bulls' golden age is still going from 91.
I'll say this. As a Chicagoan, I think he's got a pretty good idea of what happens to a franchise when they no longer have one of the greatest players in NBA history. He is Tom Waddle of our sister station, ESPN 1000, ESPN Chicago. You hear him on Waddle and Sylvie, and he is he's just the best. We're so lucky to have him.
I've enjoyed the basketball breakdown, for sure. I was just hoping you weren't going to segue into Bulls-Bucks conversation, because quite frankly, we ignore this team at this point here in Chicago.
Irrelevancy.
Tommy, quick question
without
for you.
A star.
I got a quick trivia question. When Michael Jordan left after his last championship, who was the guard that replaced him, was in the opening day starter when he left?
I have no clue, Dalsh. No clue at all.
Okay.
I can't even remember what I had for dinner last night.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you.
Was there a
Pete Myers? Pete Myers rings a bell. Or was that when he left for baseball that he took over?
I think he was a really scrappy, physical, try-hard player, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
That ring a bell?
Yep.
You're a basketball aficionado.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Thanks, Tom. It's nice to get some compliments from teammates across the GKB spectrum.
You asked a trivia question to which you did not know the answer.
That's fair. That's a fair criticism. Yes. It happens. Jason, I don't know. Is Sylvie perfect with everything? You've been with Sylvie forever. It is really hard to do a show with somebody that is perfect and always asks perfect questions.
Sure. Yeah, I understand that's difficult.
You asked that question, Tausch, and I think you'd get separate answers, one from Sylvie, one from me. So I would suggest that none of us are perfect. How's that for being politically correct?
Okay. Well, Jason thinks he is, but that's a whole other
thing. No, I definitely.
All right, Tommy, let's get to Bears, Packers. And I have a little hypothesis for this week.
All right.
So the Bears obviously have exceeded expectations through 12 games. They're at the top of the NFC playoff heap. But it feels like to me, and talking, we had Maddie Bowen on, and just talking to Chicago folks this week, it feels like you're not opening your heart to be in the best in the NFC until you can come into Lambeau. There's some trepidation even with where you're at. Is that fair?
I don't know if it's trepidation, Tausch. I think it's more like 2 weeks ago I called myself a euphoric realist. You know, prior to going to Philadelphia on a short week and just pushing them all over the field in their building, you know, I think that there was still, I've enjoyed the hell out of this. And I've said to people quite a bit that I think this team record-wise is a little bit ahead of itself. I didn't expect them. I expected them to win more games than they lost this year, but I didn't expect them to be 9-3 after 12 games. But I'm very confident and comfortable with where this program, where this organization is headed long term. And I think the future is very, very bright for them. I don't know if there's any trepidation. I think that, you know, like I said, I'm enjoying what I'm seeing right now. I think they, you know, they feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof. They feel that, you know, they can come into your house and dictate policy. They'll play you anytime, anywhere, under any circumstances. And I think that, you know, there's a healthy degree of appreciation and optimism and belief in this team. But for a lot of us as well, like, look, I'm going to ride this as far as it goes, but they still haven't. Guys, I think you can make the argument they still haven't played a really complete game. While they ran the ball for nearly 300 yards against the Eagles, you know, the passing game is still struggling, albeit there was some, you know, some windy conditions, but I'm loving what they're doing. I think the future is tremendously bright. And I think you just, it's one of those seasons where, you know, the ball's bounced in their direction quite a bit, and they've taken advantage of some of the good opportunities that have presented themselves.
Yeah, and I would argue, you know, there's all the talk about Ben Johnson. He's been great for what he has turned the program confidence-wise. But I think Ryan Poles deserves some love for what he was able to do with the O-line, because that has been the Achilles heel. You can say quarterback play, and that's true. But do they finally have that O-line fixed? Obviously, coming off of what we saw in Philly, was incredibly impressive by that group.
Well, you could diagnose what they're doing right or wrong more so than and more accurately than I could. And there, but I can tell you and feel confident saying there's a hell of a lot more good and right than there is wrong right now. I'm with you with Ryan Poles. Look, when the mistakes were made and when criticism is you know appropriate, I think we've levied that criticism. And when, you know, it's time to give somebody credit for fixing some of the problems that maybe they created, I think that the credit needs to be given. And that offensive line was a mess. And I think with the help of Ben Johnson, guys, you know, Ben had history with Jonah Jackson in Detroit. They go out and they trade for Jonah Jackson. They trade for, you know, for Joe Tooney. They add Drew Dolman in free agency. I think they identified the offensive line as an enormous area of need. And Ryan Poles went out there and solved some of these issues. Dan Roschar comes in as their offensive line coach and is somehow connected with Darnell Wright. And he's playing at an all-pro kind of level right now at the right tackle position. So, yeah, go to the other side, fellas, where when Nashawn Wright was added and, you know, Al Harris is getting the most out of him. So I think it's been a really collaborative effort between Ben Johnson and his staff. They're very good at what they do. There's a lot of experience there. And I think that, you know, between the coaching staff and the front office, they're working, you know, hand in hand. But you're right, Tausch. I think Ryan Poles deserves a ton of credit for solving some of the problems that were very glaring the previous years.
Talking with Tom Waddle of Waddle and Sylvie from ESPN 1000 in Chicago. I know some of you were very concerned about the start of this conversation, so I just want to let you know that the Bulls starting lineup in January of 1999 after the lockout was Ron Harper, Tony Kukoc, Brent Berry, Mark Bryant, and Andrew Lang. Also among those reserves that were keys to that opening, by the way, they won 13 games that year, 13 games nice. For the Bulls. They lost their opener in a rematch of the 1998 NBA Finals, 104-96 to the Utah Jazz.
Tough matchup with the Jazz.
Dickie Simpkins, which is one of my favorite names. Also Randy Brown on that team, Cornell David, and Rusty LaRue. Who could forget him? All right.
So it was 94 with Jordan Myers left for Birmingham.
Pete Mitchell or whoever you.
It was Pete Myers.
Okay, Pete Mitchell
is in 94. I think
Pete Mitchell is Maverick, if I remember correctly. Waddle, I need to know more about how you view. And Tausch loves the movie Maverick. He watches it on every flight.
It's a great movie.
I need to know how you view what we have seen through 12 games of 2025. with your quarterback, because I have taken the unpopular position here in Wisconsin. I believe you and Sylvie, the last time I was on with you, thought it was ridiculous that I was advocating this to Packers fans. But I want Caleb Williams to be good. I want this rivalry to be like Manning versus Brady. I want these guys every year battling for first place in the NFC North and the number one seed. That would be awesome to me. What I've seen from Caleb Williams with my eyes is that he is better, but he's got a long way to go. You would know better than me.
I think that's a good evaluation. I would applaud your maturity because, quite frankly, I don't have that level of maturity. I want your team to stink for an extended period of time. I want your quarterback to be bad. I want you guys to win very few games because, quite frankly, I'm tired of being owned by the Green Bay Packers, as Aaron Rodgers would have said. So, no, I think we are entering a stage where this is going to be a really competitive rivalry once again. And I have all the respect in the world for what Green Bay is doing right now, what they've done in the previous decade plus. As much as I'd love to go up there and beat the snot out of all of you guys, I do have to respect a winning franchise, and that's what you guys have been. With regard to Caleb Williams, I think progress is being made, and it's not necessarily, I wouldn't think to be accurate to just assess him based on the numbers, because completion percentage, you know, started the season and Ben's like, you know, our goal is 70% completion rate. And I said to everyone at that time, I said, that's a really lofty goal. I think if he could get to 65, we'd be happy, because there are some inherent issues with how Caleb has played the game leading up to this point that just don't speak to being the most accurate quarterback and taking your checkdowns and your layups and being a 70% completion rate guy the way Ben talked about. I think there's more of that playmaking, home run type of do-it-on-your-own element to his game that really doesn't lead you in that direction. I think, Jason, that you've seen progress in him even when he's completing 52% of his passes. He's more comfortable in the pocket. He's not ejecting the pocket, just trying to get out of there to be Superman. I think he buys time. I think he's more judicious with how he approaches scrambling. I think he's seeing things better. Look, this isn't a huge adjustment for a guy, and I'm not trying to make excuses for someone who was drafted first overall. He's never played in structure. He's never been asked to play on time. He won a Heisman Trophy by being Superman. Now you come into this offense, which is structured and asks you to play inside the confines of the pocket and forces you to play on time. Like, this is learning a different language for him. And it was a little bit rocky at the start. I think you're seeing some of the rough edges being smoothed out, but it's not where it could be. We have seen him be, you know, a quarterback that you win because of. We've seen him be a quarterback that you win with. But I think that the talent is undeniable. He's a playmaker. He's got a clutch gene. If you can marry that, Jason, with being more clean and a little more efficient and a little more on time inside the pocket, which I think we are seeing some of that, I think now you've got a quarterback that scares the hell out of the entire league going forward. So the progress has been uneven, but I think you can see it even when you go out and complete just 50% of your passes.
So on the flip side, Al Harris is one of my all-time favorite players that I covered. He even ranks ahead of Tausch. I'm looking at this defense, and I'm looking at them statistically.
It's not hard today.
What is that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
Okay.
They are 25th in scoring defense. They are 27th in total defense. Yep. They're 30th in total defense in terms of yards per play allowed. They're 28th in rushing defense. They're 22nd in passing defense. And yet,
very good.
They are leading the NFL in takeaways, leading the NFL in interceptions, and their team is 9-3. In the immortal words of Vince Lombardi, what the hell's going on out here?
Well, they're also very good on third down. So they get off the field, you know, more times than not and turn the ball back over to their offense. And like you mentioned, they've been very opportunistic. I can't argue, not to mention that they don't get to quarterbacks at all. Their pass rush is anemic. And really the only time they're consistently pressuring opposing quarterbacks, it's when Dennis Allen is dialing up some sort of exotic blitz. That includes C.J. Gardner-Johnson, or it includes Kyler Gordon when he's healthy, or Jaquan Brisker. So the secondary has been involved, I think, in a lot of their quarterback sacks. So statistically, it's not the most impressive team. But look, I go back to the Philadelphia game, and if you ask me how to define this Bears team, you know, knowing what you've done offensively and knowing that you've got some issues on defense, you go back. Caleb throws a pick in the second half, and the Eagles are driving. They get down to about the Bears' 15-yard line, and they run the tush push. And Mashon Wright comes around the side and pulls the ball out of Jalen Hurts' hands. Bears stop the drive. Once again, they take the ball away. And then the offense takes advantage of that gift that the defense gives them and drives 85 yards down the field. And they just break the back and the heart, the soul of that Eagles defense. Like, this is what this defense has done all year long, Jason, is that they bend, and then they take the ball away. And then it gives this offense an enormous boost. Taush, you could speak to this. We've all been on teams where it's like a faucet. You turn it on and it never stops for the entire season. The takeaways just keep coming. They keep coming. They keep coming. And it lasts. It's something that happens. And then the following year, instead of being first in the league, you'd be last in the league. It's just the nature of the beast. And I know you guys have seen it over the course of years. They're in a kind of a trend right now where guys are making plays. They have Kevin Byard leads the league, I think, in interceptions. He's been a tremendous addition as well. They are just finding ways to make big plays in the most important moments of the season. And it's been a trend that has lasted 12 games so far.
It's contagious. I really think that you get those things in bunches because guys see it and then they start believing. They see it and it manifests itself. And obviously with Peanut Tillman and Urlacher and that group, they were awesome at it. And that's when they had their most successes, when you're creating turnovers. Yep. What would you say is the biggest surprise or the biggest thing that Ben Johnson has brought to your organization that has allowed the quick flip to success that the Bears have had this year?
I don't know if it's a surprise, but when they fired Eberflus last year, guys, in the middle of the year, I was very adamant. There's only one guy to bring in. With all of the resources that you pushed into the middle of the table on the offensive side of the ball, you drafted Caleb number one, you drafted Rome number nine, you gave DJ Moore an extension, Cole Kmet had been given money previously, you invested all of this money upgrading the interior of your offensive line. That offense had to produce. There was no doubt I thought that they would be significantly better than they had before, because all I had to do was look at Ben's track record in Detroit, where for the first 3 years, you know, his 3 years of coordinating that offense, they were top five in pretty much every category. And I know what people say, well, look at that roster. People don't realize in Ben's first year as their coordinator in 22, there was no Jameson Williams. There was no Jahmyr Gibbs. There was no Sam Laporta. I believe Amon-Ra St. Brown was a rookie at that point. So, like, he was doing it. Yeah, they had a good line, but he didn't have the weapons. And it just spoke to me that this offense works. And when you get better players in the huddle, it's going to work even better. But I would say, you know, the thing that has impressed me most or maybe surprised me most is you bring in a guy and give him control. And one of my questions was, can he be the front of the room guy? He's a great offensive coordinator, obviously knows what he's doing there, but that culture felt like it was being set by Dan Campbell. Can he come in here and set the culture? And from day one, he has. He's a guy that holds you accountable. There are no excuses accepted. He's a hard ass. You know, he is, you know, he's all that. And then some. But I also, what surprises me a little bit is in this day and age, when you are one of the highest paid coaches in the league, what he did was assembled a staff of guys and was allowing them to coach. And he's got to be so secure with who he is and what his plan is. He brings in Dennis Allen, who's a former head coach, and says, you're the head coach of the defense. He brings in Al Harris and Antoine Randall and Eric Bieniemy. Guys not only that played in the league, but played at a really high level and have a resume as coaches. And he lets them coach. You know, he gives them the responsibility. He's not a control freak. So he's created this atmosphere where at the end of the day, you know, he has final say and the buck stops with him. But he allows his coaches to go out there and do their thing. And I think that, to me, that has been a key that really hasn't been recognized, I think, enough.
Go ahead, Chase.
No, you please. No.
I thought you guys were going to bust my chops about my prediction at the end of the season or at the beginning of the season about my.
You were actually you're some crappy special teams away from being right. Yeah, yeah. If our special teams were decent, we'd have been right.
We were not going to bust your chops.
You lose to Cleveland. Yep. You shouldn't have lost to Cleveland. You tied a Dallas team that was crappy at that time, and then you lose to Carolina. If you guys take care of business in the manner you should have, you should have been 8-0. I thought I was spot on.
So we agree with you.
That's why we're not busting your chops.
If you were hoping for us to bust your chops, you came to the wrong place.
I came in a little defensive.
Okay.
No, well, you didn't need to.
I do have a couple more questions before we let you go, but Tausch, I didn't mean to cut you off. Have you forgotten what you were going to ask, or do you still have it?
Yeah, you go ahead and finish up, Jason. You're good.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're doing a great job.
Ahead,
like you always do.
Go ahead, Sylvie. It's your show. Go ahead. You do. You ask a question.
You just run it. Get out on your swing.
I'll say this. I've been compared to a lot worse than Sylvie. That is for sure.
That is true. That's very true.
So I am curious. You said some very nice things about your head coach, Ben Johnson. Yeah. Packers fans, of course, have brought up, and reporters as well, have brought up the specific shot at Matt LaFleur. My understanding back then was Matt LaFleur was more befuddled than irritated by it. He was like, I don't have any negative history with Ben Johnson. Well, I don't know why he did that. Is he settling in to be a little less awkward? I mean, he's taking off his shirt. I think he took a page out of your playbook to do that. Yeah. But, like, what is he like? Because he came off a little weird in the press conference to introduce him, in my opinion.
Well, I think with regard to the reference to the Packers, I think he was just – it was a little theater. I think he was pandering to the audience and letting everyone know that he understands how important this rivalry is. And maybe it was an awkward dig at LaFleur, but he was just – I don't think there was anything personal with it. He was, oh, by the way, hey, Bears fans, I'm here to, recharge this rivalry with the Packers, and, oh, check out my record. I've enjoyed beating him twice a year. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was more playful than anything. It felt like Matt got a little pissy about it, but that's okay. I like that, portion of ramping up the rivalry. And quite frankly, I think that – you guys would know much better than I. I think this one means a lot to LaFleur based on that comment. I think that comment probably has resonated. It stayed with LaFleur a little bit longer than it has with Ben Johnson. And he was asked about it, and he kind of turned away from it. I don't think he's awkward at all. I think he is really connected with it. Not only everyone inside that building, Jason, like, he's in a short period of time, he's revered by these players because – he's delivered. He said when he walked in, trust me, trust us, trust what we're teaching you. We're going to put you in position to take advantage of what you're going to do best. And you will see the benefits of that. And when you get that return on investment, I think that level of trust goes up. So I haven't found him awkward at all. And I thought, he was, again, kind of, pandering to the fan base when he took his shirt off and everyone got free hot dogs. So I love everything he said. I love what he's doing tactically and schematically. He's fantastic. Quite frankly, I think he's perfect, Jason. I think he's perfect.
Much like myself. I would just add, it doesn't matter if I think he's awkward. If he has won over the locker room, and Tausch know this as much, you have coaches that you don't feel that way about, and that is a direct ticket to failure. So I just thought that those two maneuvers from the outside looking in, but if they are bought in, that is a huge thing. I would argue that if he is who Bears fans hope he is, he will be your Mike Holmgren. Mike Holmgren was the hot coach that everybody wanted. The Packers somehow got him in 92 after years and years and years of stinking. He was the offensive genius. And what did he do? He went and won a Super Bowl with Brett Favre. And so if that happens, you'll be happy, and Packers fans will be mad at me for wanting your guys to be good. All right, my last question for you.
Real quick, I would say to you, we've been clamoring for our Matt LaFleur, our Kevin O'Connell. We've been clamoring for our Sean McVay, our Kyle Shanahan. And the early signs are we got it.
So my final question for you is, do you know anyone named Aaron, E-R-I-N? Do you know anyone at all that has that name?
Yes. Going back to my high school days, I knew a girl whose first name was Erin.
Okay. So I don't know if you stayed in touch with her, but I was at my local Goodwill recently. And I found this 8x10 glossy, and it is signed to Erin, Tom Waddle.
Look at that handsome fella.
This one I'm keeping. I actually put this in front of our Wilde and Tausch logo on the awesome oversized hats Jesse got us. But here is look at this catch that this dude's making.
Jason, do you know, like, Tausch probably would tell you too. Even as a lineman, every card I have, I could probably tell you the play, and my memory sucks. That was a touchdown catch in the opening game of the season against Minnesota in 1991. I only had 9 touchdowns total in my career, so everyone means a lot to me.
Well, I am not parting with my card. It is in. It's got to be worth 30.
That the same type
40
Pete Myers
cents.
Was starting at guard for Jordan, right? 91, is that right?
Exactly. The point, yes. Yeah, I think it was Randy Brown at that time, maybe.
Okay. Tommy, got it. I love Bears Week in part because we get to talk to you and to Sylvie. My understanding is that you have selected Mark Tauscher to be your guest this week on your program. My hope is in a couple weeks I'll be joining you. No ill will at all. Not any bitterness whatsoever. Unless, of course, you also had Domofsky on, then I'm going to be really pissed.
Tausch, you available in 2 weeks?
Yep, I'll be there. You know, I'm the Packers guy for Waddle and Sylvie. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, that's right. Jason, Tommy. By the way, you have to understand, I don't make any of the decisions on our show. Never have, never will.
I understand that.
So, Jason, they actually have a producer that books guests for them. It's a little different.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a weird deal.
Out of here with that.
It is a weird deal. They just do content. It's a crazy situation down there in Chicago.
I bet their producer's not planning for either a 20-minute or 140-minute pregame show for the volleyball game tonight.
I would bet.
I'm sure they're not. Tommy, we love you, buddy. Can't wait to see you again. We appreciate you so much. Thanks a lot.
Love you guys as well. Always great joining you. Thanks.
That is the great Tom Waddle. I really do. I love this card and the catch that he's making on it. And the design is great. The haircut. By the way, check out that flow. Can I get that in there? You see that?
Yeah,
there?
He's Tommy's a handsome fella. Tommy's a handsome fella.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver. They usually are.
And you know what? I don't think he he's confident, but I don't think they're over. I'm telling you, there is a guardedness to Bears fans I haven't seen. And it's partially because they don't need to be delusional anymore. They're actually getting better. And in the past, I think they knew. Now they're hopeful, but they know that it's going in the right direction. And that, I think, makes them feel a lot better.
Totally agree. All right, we got to play a little bit of catch-up, but that was worth it. Great to talk to Tom Waddle. You can hear him on Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN with 1000, ESPN Chicago. They've got their own ESPN Chicago app that I use to listen to their show when I can, but you can download that as well, just like you download the ESPN Wisconsin app in your Android and Apple app stores. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Thanks again to Tom Waddle of Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, ESPN Chicago.
When are you joining those guys? I'm joining them, I think, at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
I'm joining them in advance, allegedly. Again, Sylvie is perfect, like myself, so I know that he wouldn't have any inaccurate information. So I was told I'd be joining him in advance of that December 20th matchup.
Oh, good. The flex game. Flexed
and I think I need to make sure that Ashton Rotman and the other powers that be sign off on all the things necessary, but I think I'm going to be at that game, and maybe I can get down there on Friday and maybe join them in studio if we play our cards right, which would be fun.
I've always
the bean.
a lot. There's a lot to do down there, and we would love to make the trip. So we'll see if that plays out. But Tausch, I want to go back to something that he said, because what I wanted to get back to, and we kind of ran out of time because of our in-depth discussion of the 1999 Chicago Bulls, was your comp with Jared Goff, with Caleb Williams, both first overall picks, both guys that are talented, but maybe not the uber talented guys that you played with Favre and Rodgers or Tom Brady or some of these other guys that are Hall of Famers. When you listen to Waddle talk about what Caleb Williams was at USC and now is trying to be with the Bears, does it make sense to you that it has been kind of a bumpy path for him, completion percentage wise, mistake wise, etc.? And do you think, oh boy, once he figures out how to play within this system, he could potentially be a problem?
I don't know if I would say he could potentially. I think he could be a good NFL quarterback. Do I think that he has the same potential as a Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow? I don't see that. That doesn't mean he can't get better and get there, but Josh Allen was an inaccurate thrower of the football too. I don't think he has the athleticism of Josh. Now, he has shown that he can do some things with his legs, but you have to be more accurate with the football, and you have to get better at that. So it's not fair to judge him yet, because this is the first year that he's been coached and that he's progressing. So Bears fans should be optimistic about Caleb Williams. I am not overly, and I'm sure Bear fans felt the same way about Jordan Love in his first year. He wasn't overly accurate with the football.
Right.
Till he started to get there. So that system and understanding, like Tommy just said, the checkdowns and the layups, that's how you go from 59 to 67, 68%.
Right.
Is understanding what you're needed to do and what your outlets are and everything else. And that's just starting to figure things out. And that is a hard position to play, as we've seen. So I'm not overly worried as a Packers fan that he's going to be, you know, like a Favre Rodgers type, but he's definitely their best hope in a long time at giving them some stability at that spot for the next decade.
We will get further into Packers-Bears in the 10 o'clock hour, which, of course, we're running late for, but not until after I tell you about Steinhoffels and what they've got going on right now. I told you this a number of times. It's time to take advantage of it. If better sleep has been hard to come by for you, you're not alone. I've been there too. And the right mattress can make all the difference. That's why Helix Sleep and Steinhoffels have teamed up to bring their award-winning mattresses to Steinhoffels. Now, you can try Helix in person, which is something you can't just do anywhere. Right now, Steinhoffels is offering 20% off all Helix mattress orders just for our listeners. All you got to do is head to steinhoffels.com to learn more. Helix Sleep at Steinhoffels. Better sleep starts now. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts not now, but in 2 minutes. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.